It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special offer.
Hello and welcome to the Leeds Up podcast. I'm James and I'm with Rocco Dean. Well, we're here after the Huddersfield, I was going to say nearly said defeat then. Feels a bit like a defeat, doesn't it? The Huddersfield draw. So we will recap on that and also cover the Chelsea game, the FA Cup game from midweek. Before we jump into the podcast, special thank you to Bass and Bly, our sponsors. And here's David Dean's jingle.
Oh, Bass and Bly and Magic, Justin wears a magic hat. Independent, trusted dealers, you'll hear it on Leeds That. Canon, Nikon, Fuji, Leica, Sony and the rest. If you want a decent camera, Bass and Bly have all the best. 60 years in cameras, we really know our stuff. Justin's here to serve you, he can never do enough. If it's cameras that you're after, for a chat when at home for footy, Justin listens to Leeds That. Oh, Bass and Bly and Magic, both new and used on view. If you need binoculars, we've plenty of them too. Spotting scopes and lenses, all state of the art. Use Bass and Bly in Harrogate and you'll be very smart. Oh, Bass and Bly and Magic, we don't sell no tat. We are here to serve you, you will hear it on Leeds That. With Rocco and Bielsa, books and James with so much wit. Bass and Bly sells cameras and all the other shit.
So at Bass and Bly you can get binoculars, cameras, spotting scopes, lenses, loads of stuff. You can get your camera repaired. They're based on 6 Beulah Street in Harrogate and also at www.bassandbly.com. So make sure you go there for all your photographic and spotting needs.
I went in to see Justin last weekend and he said he was rushed off his feet. He says he's never been busier. So yeah, obviously the advert's working a treat. Maybe it's all about the jingle.
It is all about the jingle. Yeah. Don't tell him that, actually. He'll just start paying David direct. Right, so yeah, bit of a disappointing result today, 1-1, but let's quickly talk about Chelsea. Rocco, you went down to Gamford Bridge. How was it?
It was great. I had a lovely time. Annoying being in the home end, and when the game started, I was struggling to contain myself. Like, I don't know, I've been in the home end loads of times and I'm normally fine, but yeah, I was struggling to sort of contain my excitement at times, but I did manage to contain myself when we scored. Yeah, loved it. It's a brilliant performance. Wasn't really that bothered that we lost, although playing Leicester in the quarterfinal at home would have been amazing, really. So yeah, it is disappointing in that regard, but I thought we were great. And yeah, Archie especially, it was brilliant actually. So like on my way back, I was on the tube. And this guy, there was a guy sat next to me and this guy stood up and he just turned to the guy and sat next to me and he said, who was that number 22 for Leeds? And I was like, so delighted to just butt straight in. I said, Archie Gray, he's only 17. Yeah. Then the other guy was like, oh yeah, he didn't cost 80 million either. Yeah, Archie was just amazing. So I think that was the first time I've really sort of appreciated how amazing he is going to be, you know, to come up against those two midfielders. One World Cup winner and another 100 million and just looked the best player on the park. It was amazing. So, yeah, phenomenal to see.
Feels like we've had a sneak into the future seeing that performance, didn't we? It's like, well, we were talking about on WhatsApp and I don't know, there's been a lot of people and who are just sort of really hammering it home that he should be playing in midfield. But I think, you know, all development is good development. Him playing right back this season has sort of given him the confidence to go into that game. So I think, you know, everything's going to plan, which is great. My wife said this morning, she said, I had a dream about Archie Gray. I don't know how to say that, I'll be honest. A bit weird you dream about a 17-year-old. But for some context, she doesn't watch Leeds. She doesn't support Leeds. She just hears me talking about it. And I think late last night, she heard me listening to an interview with him.
Well, actually, I've got another Archie story. I was out last night and we got talking to this group of ladies who were teachers. They all used to teach at Fisher's and one of them still does. And I asked her if she knew Archie Gray, and she did. And she currently teaches Harry. And she said he's a handful, which I think's great. I think that means he's a live wire and I can't wait to see him up front for Leeds.
And then you took her home. And, oh dear. Let's hope your wife doesn't listen to this. Anyway, yeah, Arch Gray, future of Leeds United. Lee Dixon, not the future of Leeds United. I just wanted to say one thing about him. Bloody hell, he's such a moaning, miserable git. Like, honestly, it's like listening to someone, see, you know, just one of your mates who's just a bit like all the time, or like someone in your office who's just left. Oh, there's no water in the kettle. Oh, he's like that sort of, he's like talking about a lamp that kept getting knocked in his way on the on the FA Cup game. Jeez, man.
Anyway. Commentators that like don't get across that they are enjoying the match is just awful. Like, I can't understand how it's become like an accepted way of commentating. It's like, yeah, more low key, the better. Very, very strange.
Disappointed to go out of the FA Cup, but not, you know, not gutted. I think looking at the, because Leicester have got through, their game with Southampton has been rearranged, hasn't it? So
yeah,
it's causing them a lot of fixture congestion. When I saw that, I just thought, maybe this is a good thing for us. We just don't need the distraction.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I'd have rather gone through, definitely. But yeah, I can see the benefit. I'm at ease, at peace with it all.
And your roundup this week, Rocco, if this is where you normally go. Yeah, he's pulled a face. He's not got it in front of him. He doesn't know. What else has happened this week?
Daniel Farke had a great presser. He spoke about early kickoffs and it was very insightful. And he admitted that he hates them. And he thinks, obviously, the fans would hate them as well. And he went into detail about how it does make a difference, even a few hours, you know, because of your sleep patterns. And, you know, he's having to sort of get the players up for it before he's even had his coffee in the morning. But he did also say it would mean he'd be back on his sofa a little bit earlier on Saturday, which of course made me smile. Such a lovely bloke. Just love him.
In his Black Forest ghetto.
That's the one.
So, yeah, 12:30 kickoff, early kickoff, typically against Huddersfield. And I think we all knew it was going to be just one of them games, like, always is against Huddersfield. It's never easy. They really, really don't like us. I was looking at their attendances for the season. 10% uplifting spectators at the game today because, you know, I think they love the idea of hating Leeds more than the idea of loving their own club. Is the thing I take from Huddersfield fans. I used to work with a Huddersfield fan and all they used to talk about was us. Get a grip. But yeah, we started off bright. Well, team selection, what about that? Did you think there was going to be any changes off the back of the Chelsea result?
Nah, definitely not. Well, obviously, yes. Like, yeah, changes from the cup team, but yeah, back to the normal league team. Not surprised at all. Obviously, yeah, with us not getting the win, then it raises all the questions about, yeah, should Archie have been in midfield, etc. Matty and Joseph. But nah, he had to go back to normal. And we just weren't at the races. I thought it was, a terrible performance, really. Even like from Somerville scuffing that massive chance early doors, we just never had a grip of the game, never really looked like, well, had a grip of it, obviously, because we dominated it, but never looked like scoring. I thought Huddersfield deserved at least a point, really, because like, did we actually create anything? Can't really think of any chances, apart from the goal.
No. Just before we came on, I started watching the highlights again because I've just been putting it off, like watching the extended version. And yeah, that early chance where we did some really nice passing up the right-hand side and got it into the box, and then Kamara just couldn't get it out of his feet, could he? And then Somerville sort of lashed at it. But And then they had like Radoni. Is it Radoni, the blonde guy?
Something like that.
He had like a couple attempts on goal, and I think Meliá had to make a couple of good saves. And you just thought, oh God, here we go. Like, but beyond that, they didn't really do much in open play, and neither did we. I think we had two shots on target out of 15 in the end.
I actually thought that they, like in the 20th minute when I think Hogg did the first bad foul, up until that point, I thought they were playing really well. And actually that foul ended up sort of taking the wind out of their sails. Like we were on the ropes completely. And then it's quite funny actually, because I put a comment on to one of my mates saying that like it's going to be a championship classic this, because it, you know, Huddersfield were up for it. And I was thinking it was a great game. And then suddenly it just completely died. And like, yeah, there was 55 minutes in the first half and the ball was in play for 22. Over half an hour, we were sat there watching nothing. It was infuriating. And I mean, all that is because of Huddersfield, and, you know, just turned into absolute thugs. I was absolutely fuming. I thought it was like more dirty than the 1970 FA Cup final replay that everyone always talks about. And I truly, honestly do. I've watched that game and I didn't think it was that bad, but Huddersfield were in absolute disgrace today. Like some of those fouls were just disgusting.
As soon as I saw their manager, who I thought was like a cheap Bradley Walsh, which I didn't even think that was possible, wearing a Stone Island coat, I thought, oh, here we go. We know what we're in for this afternoon. So all the signs were there, to be honest. But yeah, it was proper, like, I don't know, we just haven't played in that way for so long. I don't remember us ever playing like that, really, just sort of in a shithousery type of way. And I can appreciate it when it's us sometimes, but even then, I just want to see us play football, like, because one of their fans, it's just a bit, oh God, I don't know. Like you want to see the game, don't you? You pay to see the ball in play.
Yeah. I mean, the thing is, like, I feel a bit bad complaining about it, because I like, you know, rough and tumble football, and like, I don't like the fact that they've taken the physicality out of the game. I think it makes it easier for the best teams to win. But that was too far. And if I was a Huddersfield fan, I'd be pissed off, because like I said, they were doing really well and then they just started fouling us, and like the game just completely, yeah, it was just ruined, really. And then obviously their captain, with the most mindless, idiotic red card you could ever wish to see, just after they'd scored. I mean, what an absolute moron that guy is. And I think Ellen Road, he could have been sent off 2 or 3 times as well. Yeah, if I was an Huddersfield fan, I'd be furious, because, yeah, we were there for the taking today.
There was a few tackles flying in. There was one earlier from him, obviously, because he was already yellow carded. Pearson had a bad one, and then he obviously raked his, I think it's Pearson, and then he raked his stud down the back of Somerville's legs. But yeah, Hogg was just an idiot. You could sense it coming for some time as well. It was like, well, I don't understand why you're losing your head here. Have you got nothing in your game to just to be doing this? And I was surprised that it was a second yellow. I thought it was a straight red, because he was clearly just looking for it. He even looked to see where the ref was before he did it, if you watch him back as well. Just a fucking idiot.
Yeah. I just think the referees nowadays, I don't know. Is it the VAR thing? They just, I don't think they, do they give straight reds anymore? Have we seen a straight red this season? I don't know. But like, yeah, that one down the back of Somerville's leg was absolutely disgusting. And you can see it in the player's reaction and knob. Like, he sort of goes as if, like with his hands out as soon as he's done it, as if he's not touched Somerville. Like, that made it even worse for me. I just, I was absolutely like, yeah, fuming. I still am. It's disgusting that, like, So I was very relieved that they didn't win, and very happy that Stoke won. So now they're on the verge of the relegation zone. I've never cared about Huddersfield before, but yeah, those players just really, really, really pissed me off.
Their goal was a bit annoying. We've been very weak at corner. Well, we're not very weak, but our weakness is sort of set pieces. And I think for anything to come from Huddersfield, it was probably always going to be like a corner or a free kick, wasn't it, really?
There were good deliveries. Yeah, we struggled with them. But yeah, Nyonto, a moronic free kick to give away so needlessly, just barged into his man in a dangerous area. Ludicrous. And
he was losing his head for some time, because we were talking about it, weren't we? Because I think, again, there was a, I don't know why I remember his name, because I rarely remember any, Radoni. I think it's probably because he sounds Italian, Rocco, and I thought of you, but he's not Italian. But when he was on the floor, someone fouled him, it might have been Kamara, and then he sort of followed through and ran into his head as he was on the floor. And I just thought, what are you doing here? Like, you're not concentrating on the game. Your head's lost. And I think at halftime, I was very much thinking, we need to get him off, get Dan James on, and make some changes, because there's a few people here that just are not up for the physical battle, and then they're not, that the head is really not in the game is all I can describe it as.
Yeah, someone said on Radio Leeds afterwards on the call in that I pointed out the fact that we've only got Rodon as a defender in the whole team. Well, Firpo too. But yeah, you've got Ampadu alongside and we don't really have any big men, you know, to head balls away. So yeah, maybe that's why we're struggling a little bit. And yeah, you see Nyonto and like Gruev in very dangerous areas, like they're key defenders for us on set pieces. So yeah, we've definitely got a shortage of height in the box.
Few people wanting Pascal Strauch back in defence. Is that what you would have and push Ampadu back?
Definitely. Yeah, I would do. We've got a lot of options now, haven't we? But I think, yeah, I don't think I'd... Although Cooper had a good game, I thought, on Wednesday. But I wouldn't bring him back in. I think it'd be, yeah, I'd wait for Strauch to come back. And I think that makes us stronger because Strauch's good on the ball. And yeah, I'd like to see Ampadu. I think Ampadu's better than Gruev. And I think Kamara's not as good as Gray. So yeah, I do still feel like they're... It's the backup midfield is carrying the can in the middle there. So I think I'd get back to that at some point. Would you bring in Tintin or Byram?
Yeah, I'd love Byram to come back in because I just don't trust Firpo at all. Like, you know, even in the week in the cup, they were just targeting our left hand side, and our left hand side was very Coopery and very Juniory. So, yeah, no, I would. And I think Kamara, and maybe it's just like we have had a really busy schedule and they've been playing at such a good high level that maybe they are just tired and maybe we do need to change something around. And a few people were like, why are we taking Gray off today when we made the subs around the 60th minute? And I kind of agreed with it because I just thought he's played a lot of minutes. Yeah. And the demand on him is going to be to play more minutes. And he's going to probably go on a under 21's international break soon as well. So you just think that there's going to be so much football needed in his legs, and maybe it's not a bad thing to take him off because he is going to be important for the running, I think.
Yeah, I think so as well. Yeah, the other thing I was going to say about Gray, actually, like when you compare him to all the other youngsters that have come through, I've never seen somebody so consistent at that age. Like Delft burst onto the scene. He was unbelievable, albeit in League One. But second half of the season, he definitely tailed off. Like, he wasn't as electric as he was when he first came in the team. And Harry Kuehl, sorry for mentioning him, but yeah, his first season, you know, he was electric at times, but, you know, other times he was, you know, invisible. I suppose Woodgate was very consistent all the way through, actually. But yeah, Archie's just, yeah, I can't imagine him ever having a bad game, to be fair. He's just so accomplished. And yeah, today I thought, he had a good game as well. Yeah, probably unlucky to come off, but probably just to make sure that he's fresh for Tuesday. And you never know, maybe because he's going to be playing midfield on Tuesday, he wanted to give him a few less minutes today.
Yeah, that's a good point. Maybe with Archie as well, that his level is potentially so high that actually his bad games are pretty good.
Yeah,
that's how I like to see it.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
So yeah, as I say, second half, made some early changes. Hope for that to inject some sort of urgency and also some calm heads. I thought Dan James running at them's got to be a good thing, but felt like we were still sort of spraying really loose passes around and nothing was really connecting with anyone. I remember Rutsu sort of absolutely chucking one down the wing to Nyonto actually before Dan James came on, and just thought, why are we like, they've got 10 men, like why aren't we just sort of fizzing it around quite close and moving them about the pitch? And we just didn't seem to be, just not taking our time, but just thinking about things properly.
Yeah, It's been a fair while since we've had one of these games where we've struggled to create stuff. And I think it was just, you know, the forward players weren't on song today. You know, I thought Somerville had his worst game for a long time. Rutter as well. He did some nice stuff, but nothing at the end. We had another incident where he's in the box. He can just pass it into the corner as a net and he thrashes it as hard as he can and it goes out for a throw-in. You know, these I don't know why they can't just tell him to just like be a bit calmer, but maybe in the moment, maybe they're trying to get him to do that and he isn't. It's frustrating. But yeah, I just thought we just weren't on song. They defended well. And yeah, just, I mean, I got to the point where I thought, yeah, this is it. Like we've lost, like we're not coming back into this game. So I'm just sort of really relieved that we managed to get something out of it. I think it's a point game, to be honest, which sounds crazy against 10-man Huddersfield, but yeah, it looked like a defeat to me. So I think we've done well to come out of it with something.
No, I agree. Like, I couldn't see us getting into the game. I was really nervous talking to you and Dara in our chat. And the goal, it was a relief when it went in. It did feel like we might be able to kick on, but, you know, and I was pleased for Paddy to get one because he'd had a really quiet game and it felt like potentially we could kick on, but it also just thought this, nothing really happened. And after that as well, we're still kind of doing the same stuff. And yeah, a bit disappointing, wasn't it?
Yeah. Somerville had that one that hit the post, obviously. Interestingly, so I know previously I mentioned that my dad says if you hit the post, like it's as good as a goal, like he'll never criticise a player. But yeah, revelation, actually, if you hit the outside of the post, it doesn't count. So he counts that as a shot off target and it's not as good as a goal. So there you go. Must do better, Jimmy.
Yeah, definitely. And I don't really know what else to say about it other than I'm just like bitterly disappointed. I say I'm disappointed, but like, I think, is it Southampton and Ipswich have both been to Huddersfield this season and drawn as well? And that's at a point in the season when their form was pretty terrible and the form has actually improved recently. So, and you know, maybe we were due to drop some points and we haven't, you know, dropped. We've gained one, if you look at it that way. I mean, on paper, it is disappointing to see us, like you say, miss out on 3 points against a 10-man team, but Huddersfield's always shit. It's always tough there. I never feel confident ever since the sort of Aaron Moy days and the Gary Monk nearly scrapping on the sideline. Yeah, not ever really fancied us.
Nah, exactly. Nah, I'm the same. Yeah, good to see Leicester losing again. And they've got some really tough games coming up. So that's going to get interesting.
This is it. We were talking about this last week and also talking about it with people on Twitter or x.com that kind of it was seeping into their fan base and you could see it in their on their forum after the game against us that they were all sort of nervous that they were going to bottle it. And it does, you know, like it breeds that feeling. So we had it under Bielsa where everyone was really uptight and anxious about what was to come. And yeah, pressure's on for Leicester. Yeah, QPR at home, shock of that. But like you say, they've got a really, really, really difficult set of fixtures. They've got to play Southampton and Ipswich. So they've all got to play one another. So there's going to be points that swing things. And Ipswich had another great result today. I tried to watch some of that as well, which I said I wouldn't watch other teams. But they had such a lucky deflection. Like the game was going nowhere as well. Like, it was just a bit sort of like, you know, middly. It was just in the middle of the park and it was scrappy and they're passing balls out into throw-ins, like just bad balls. It was just a deflection that then went in and then Kiefer Moore scored another one to double the lead and just thought, oh, lucky really.
5 wins in a row for them now and they've got some nice fixtures coming up. So yeah, they've had their sticky patch and they're looking good again. Will they get to 90-odd points? It's going to be interesting. Yeah, I'm still confident. Obviously, it was annoying getting their 97th minute winner, but yeah, we're still ahead of them as well, aren't we?
Yeah,
it's the race, isn't it? Like we've done amazing to get ourselves right back into the mix. We've got good fixtures ourselves coming up that we can be positive and confident of winning. So yeah, we're still on an unbeaten run. I think yeah, win the next 2 home games, we might even be top of the league. So yeah, there's no point getting down about today, I don't think.
Stoke on. Oh, sorry. Before we go into all that stuff, I'm jumping way ahead. But for man of the match, are we doing one? Any worthy winners?
Man of the match, probably just have to say Rodon. Did Rodon play well enough? Ampadu, should give it to Ampadu for a change. He played quite well.
I think I'm going to give it to Ampadu just for the moment where he saw Hogg being sent off and he was like wondering what was going on when he saw the red card. And he's like, and then he realised it's Hogg being sent off and just goes, oh, yeah, yeah, go on, fuck off.
Yeah, absolutely.
Brilliant stuff. I think Daniel Marker was pretty... Daniel Marker? What the hell is wrong with me today? God, I'm so tired and disappointed. Daniel Farker, he said it was disappointing to have to accept that they weren't going to get their 10th win. And yeah, but that also just shows their ambition and feels like that they could have gone on like an even stronger run. So, and feels like the chance that they missed in the first 10 minutes was big and would have probably changed the game for them. And I agree, like, it probably would have done because they would have played a little bit more cautiously, I would have thought. So yeah, wasn't meant to be. Let's move on.
We've got to do player ratings for...
God, I have to relive this.
Melier. Evan?
Yeah, he made some good saves.
And he dealt with the corner as well. I mean, you could...
You could argue he dropped it for that goal, though.
It's a bit like a bar of soap, wasn't it? Sort of just like spurted out of him somehow. Give him a 7.
Okay.
Archie, 7.
Yep.
6.
Yeah, I can't... Like, I get the ironic chanting with Firpo, but I just don't get it. Like, and so I said, the guy who sits in front of me, Ellen Road, I sort of said the other day, like, Firpo annoys me, and he was like, he's been playing amazing. I was like, yeah, but he's so dodgy. Like, he's the area that everyone targets because he's just... Anyway, let's move on. Sorry.
Maybe we'll change the words to a different player at some point.
I like him. I like his character, and I like him as a human being, but I'm just not assured by him.
No. Rodon, 7.
Rodon, 7.
Padu, 7.
Yep.
Right. This is where it gets tricky. Kamara, 5 for me. Thought it was crap.
I thought he had a really bad game. He just looks tired to me because you know that he's capable of more. So.
Yeah. Gruev, 6, I suppose. I wouldn't go as far as 5.
We weren't decent enough in the middle of the park. I agree.
No. Nyonto, 5.
Probably maybe
giving away the goal as well with that free kick.
Yeah, 5, go on then.
And also for refusing to play for us earlier in the season. And I also don't like how he like smiles all the time when like things are going wrong. Like if he gives away a free kick, he's like got his beaming smile out. Maybe I'd have loved him for that last season, but now it annoys me.
Mm. Anyway.
Somerville, 5?
He did some all right stuff. 6. Yeah. I'd say 5 maybe.
It's in the end, he was probably our most dangerous player. He got better.
He got clattered a couple of times as well, which didn't look like a nice thing to have to get up from. So, yeah.
Okay. Rutter, 6.
Yeah, I'd say that's fair.
And Bamford, I mean, he's got us the goal, but like you said, he did nothing. Do we give him a 6 or give him a 7?
Do we give him a 7, I think?
Yeah. Okay.
Dan James?
7. I think he injected a bit of pace and helped us a lot. And same for Connor Roberts as well.
Yeah, Connor Roberts. I watched the interview with him on the official Leeds United podcast the other day. And because he's got a headset on and he's got a moustache, he just looks like a World War II pilot. So it's worth just going and have a look at that and just so you can go, oh yeah, he's right. And then just turn it off. No, actually, no, watch the whole thing. It's good.
What do you think of his tash?
I like it. I like the fact that we have got two flanks of tashes.
Oh, yeah. Forgot about Firpo. How could I forget? He's definitely still got it, yeah?
I think so. Yeah, they're both like not really like strong, thick, you know, what's his name? Tom Selleck type moustaches. the sort of thing that would, you know, like proper cookie duster, that one, isn't it? Whereas these ones look like, you know, a cat could lick them off, that sort of thing.
Yeah, you don't see those Tom Selleck ones anymore, do you?
Yeah, definitely they're awesome.
I might try.
I think we should go. Yeah.
Should we make it our new thing?
I'm left back, you're right back.
We could do it for charity. We'll shave them off when... We won't shave them off until Leeds are promoted.
God, if we don't go up though. Next
17
year.
Years later.
Yeah, God. Stinks as well. Oh no, you can wash it. Right.
We've got Matt Peru because he came on. I'll just give him a 6, obviously.
Yeah.
There was a time where he could have shot. I thought he was going to score. And there was a time he could have passed it. And I thought we were going to score. And it's just not working for him, is it?
Let's move on from this game because there's a chance we'll dwell on it and get annoyed. But yeah,
Let's be happy about it, because like we're going to have bad games, and we've got
a point.
Like, all those points, and yeah, I think it's a good. I think Huddersfield have missed a trick there today massively. So let's celebrate that.
28 points out of a possible 30.
Yeah,
you can't argue with that, can you? You wouldn't have thought of that, would you?
No, and yeah, breathing down the necks of Leicester,
and also you wouldn't think that they're the last points we're ever going to get in the Championship, right? Stoke Tuesday night. Me and you are meeting up. We're off for pizza at Rudy's. I need to book it. If anyone wants to come along, Rocco's paying. So,
yeah, come on, come all. I'm looking for James. It's going to be lovely. Yeah,
I'm looking forward to our date. Get a little tiramisu to finish things off. Get the bus down to Elland Road. Yeah, no, looking forward to that. And a tough game. Like QPR told us today against Leicester, those games from clubs that are all down the bottom are so hard because they're fighting for it, and it's a real scrap. And in the middle of the season, they're kind of all right because the peril's not there, but they really sort of dig their feet in and hold firm in these at this time. And that's the thing that worries me. I just think, are Stoke going to be of that mindset? And there are times where we've just struggled to break teams down when they just are so solid, like today, you know. And if we're not on top form, we really do struggle. So yeah, it's a big game. It's not going to be easy. None of them are going to be easy, but we struggled at their place. We lost, didn't we? So,
yeah, we need to do some payback. And yeah, they played all right against us at their place. And yeah, I think have they come into a bit of form? Obviously, they won today, so yeah, going to be tricky. But yeah, I feel like we'll definitely have too much for them. And yeah, we'll be back on track. And yeah, hopefully looking forward again. There's, good that we'd have to dwell on this very long as well. It's only around the corner, isn't it, now?
Yeah, which
is
true.
Which is the best thing. Yeah, I also feel like he might freshen it up a little bit on Tuesday. I'd like to see him do that and then give himself some selection headaches for Friday.
I would definitely drop some players in that haven't been starting. So like, I would put Dan James in just to give it something new, get some fresh legs in there, because it has been a long run for a lot of the players, like we say. Yeah, let's see what happens there. Friday's the big one that I'm quite nervous about against Sheffield Wednesday, because that feels like another Huddersfield all over again. Again, they're down the bottom battling. On paper, you see these bottom of the league ties, and these are the ones where I'd rather be playing middle of the league, you know, sort of mid-table sides where got nothing to play for. They're not going to get in the playoff spots. They're going to avoid relegation. A bit like playing us, sort of, you know, 10 years ago, whatever it was. And yeah, so these are making me feel nervous. So, and I know we talk about other teams having tricky runs. I'm not trying to like feed anxiety into everyone, by the way, because this is a bit of insight into how I'm feeling. Yeah. But I do think they are a lot harder fixtures than we make out.
Yeah, I am feeling positive though. I feel like we can go there and yeah, smash them all over the place. And we can, obviously, like, but also we might lose. But yeah, I feel like we're going to really turn it on Friday.
That was so Gattuso, that sometimes maybe good, sometimes maybe shit.
Okay. Yeah, thank you. No, I do, because yeah, we owe them a few goals from the home game as well. And yeah, I think they've picked up as well, haven't they? But like, yeah, they're not a patch on us. So, yeah, I'm feeling very positive. 6 points in the pocket.
They've had really good form. And I think the 6 points that break, is it the 6 points difference between, let me just have a look, between them and 12th place? Between 22nd and 12th place, which is absolutely bonkers. Just shows you how, what sort of a good run the likes of Stoke and Sheffield Wednesday, all the results that they've been getting has been in recent weeks has been really good. So this is what I mean. We can't just think this is going to be easy, because these two sides are
starting to play well.
Yeah. But hey, let's stay positive. We're the best team in the league, remember? Georgie said it. And we've got the best fans in the world. Archie said it. So yeah, what could possibly go wrong?
Oh, God. Can't leave it on that. Everything could go wrong.
Hey, we used to predict the scores of the next games. We stopped doing that.
Did we?
Yeah. I'm not campaigning to start it up again, but
the 1 week we start it, we lose. Nice one, Rocco.
Yeah, we can't do that. No chance.
We'll bring that back next season.
Although I'm feeling positive and I'm sure we're going to romp to promotion, I have started backing the opponents to beat us to console myself. So I've made about £3 on Huddersfield today. So that was great.
Well done.
Thank you.
A little bit better. I put like stupid bets on. I put like, I think it was some sort of 4-card accumulator type thing. Like, I was never going to get it. You know, when you're like, oh, 200 to 1, I think I'll have a go on that. Obviously didn't get it. That's why it's 200 to 1. Right. Anything else?
No. Thank you.
Two last things. David Dean, he's been writing on the Leeds That website, so make sure you go read his stuff.
Well, I've been letting him down badly, to be honest. I've been so busy. I've been travelling and I've not had time to put on a lot of his stuff, which is sad. Sorry, Daddy, but try and do better moving forward.
Shocking. I'm not going to plug your new book now.
Oh, yeah. We're going to talk about my new book.
It's no, not available. Podcast over. See you later. Rocco, your latest book, book number 5?
Yeah, book 5.
Book number 5 is available for pre-order on leadsthat.com.
Yeah.
Actually, we just changed the price today, didn't we? So it's down to £15, which is a great launch price. And
yeah,
if you buy it with any other book, it's free postage as well. And there's some offers on a few of the books at the minute as well. I think £5 for the O'Leary years.
Yeah, it's 5 or 4 League One Leeds. And get stuck in. They're really good books. Revy Books, wonderful, because it's such a wonderful story and such a wonderful team. So yeah, covers the 10 years that Don had in the first division. It's like sort of 8 to 10 games per season, telling the story throughout. And it's amazing. What an incredible team they were and how well they did. It was, fairy tale stuff. So get involved and you'll learn something, I'm sure. Even if you lived through it, I bet you'll find some stuff that you think, ooh.
I'm genuinely looking forward to it because, obviously it was before my time on this planet. And I know like a few games, a few results, and I've seen some of the clips and goals over the years, but I don't know enough about it. And I feel like learning it as a timepiece will be really good. So I'm really looking forward to it.
At the moment, I'm reading through the ebook files like a final check. And it is like you, because it goes into such detail. Like there's stuff that you wouldn't know. You look and see that they won the first cup against Ferencvaros, and you probably don't think anything of that. But Ferencvaros, they'd beaten Man United, they'd beaten Liverpool. Shankly and Busby both said that they were the best team they'd ever faced in Europe. And Leeds beat them 1-0 over 2 legs with like 10 homegrown players, 9 of them 23 years or younger. Like, it's just absolutely amazing. So like things like that all the way through to make you appreciate how incredible they really were.
Yeah, that's brilliant. I look forward to that. I haven't been offered a copy yet, so I might have to go on the website now and order one, sadly. That's annoying, isn't it?
I'll sign it.
Oh, cheers. That's great. You can deliver it to my house.
Oh, they're all signed, by the way, if you buy them.
If you don't want them signed, just leave a little note. It might be worth more. Right. On that note, have a good week. We'll see you at some point. It'll all be all right.
We just might enjoy get some Tuesday more night. As long as just you enjoy Tuesday night, we're not bothered about anything else.
And Friday night as well.
Just have
a good week and hopefully Leeds do it for you. But catch you all soon. Thanks everyone for listening. Much appreciated. And thanks, Bass and Bly, as well. Cheers.
Network.